ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद् भागवतम् केण्टो 5 चाप्टर् 3 टेक्स्ट् 6 चाप्टर् एण्टैटल्ड् ऋषभदेव्स् अपियरेन्स्. परिजानानुराग विरचिता सबला संशब्द सलिला सीत किसलया तुलसिका ध्रुवान्कुरैरपि संवृतया सपरार्या किल परमा परितुष्यसि. Translation. O Supreme Lord, you're full in every respect. You're certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves and newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. Purport. One does not need great wealth, education, or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, he need offer only a flower, a little water, and a little water. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Payachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. The Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore, it is stated here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from the Gautamiya Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilas states, Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chalukenava vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion, thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilita Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi पश्चात्यदेशतारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे. सो थैंक यू फॉर ऑल ऑफ योर मर्सी एंड एसोसिएशन. आई डोंट डिजर्व टू बी सिटिंग हियर स्पीकिंग, बट इज एक्सप्लेन्ड. To glorify Krishna, we have to be enthusiastic. To speak about ourselves, we should be very shy. So, just a little in. Most of you don't know me. My name is Shastra Krit Das, and I'm originally from South India, Tamil Nadu. But I met the devotees when I was studying in New Zealand. And I met my spiritual master Devamrita Swami there, and then he took me to USA. I live in Los Angeles for the past 13 years or so, and I distribute books. That's my seva, full-time book distribution and also congregational preaching. So I'm just here after the book marathon to have all your association and recharge the spiritual batteries. So very beautiful translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, as usual. Prabhupada makes it very easy for us to understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And reading this verse, Prabhupada's quoting from here, from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, how Krishna is ready to sell himself if a devotee just offers him a tulsi leaf full of water, Ganges water, preferably. So, reminded me of this pastime of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, he saw how people were so absorbed in ritualistic ceremonies and false ego and weddings and Shraddha ceremony and so many things, but there was no bhakti. So Advaita Acharya was actually feeling very sad. So he invited, by worshipping a Shalagram Shila with tulsi leaves and Ganges water, he invited Mahaprabhu to appear and save the conditioned souls. What to speak of now? Advaita Acharya thought people were fallen doing ritualistic ceremonies. If we look around now, just 500 years later, people are absorbed in so many sinful activities. So much so that most souls of this time won't get a human form of life. Because like Prabhupada says, you know, people are living like cats and dogs, which means they're preparing themselves for a lower birth. It's very sad. So, in this verse, Prabhupada is translating Srimad Bhagavatam, explaining how Krishna is very pleased if a devotee offers him just a tulsi leaf and some water in ecstasy. Prabhupada is making this point, how if we offer things to Krishna with a faltering voice and in ecstasy, Krishna is very pleased. And this is the point I wanted to speak about, how this ecstasy is not an ordinary thing. This ecstasy is actually the mercy of the spiritual master. We can't have spiritual life unless we have the mercy of our spiritual master. It's like the Brahmana, illiterate Brahmana in Srirangam in South India. He was actually illiterate. He had the Bhagavad Gita upside down. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ranganath himself, he ignored all the Brahmins that were great scholars of the Vedas, and they were chanting and perfect meter and Sanskrit and knowledge. But Mahaprabhu ignored all of them and approached this Brahmana and started talking to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, like, I can see you can't, because, you know, you have him upside down, but you're crying. What's the secret? What's going on? And this Brahmana explained, you know, at the time of initiation, my Guru Maharaj, he knew that I can read, but still he instructed me that I should read the entire Bhagavad Gita daily, every day. And the Brahmana was making an attempt, and the Brahmana explained, just by making an attempt to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, he can see in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna has become the Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. And this Brahmana was crying to see how the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken such a lowly position to serve his devotee. It was revealed to him, he can see in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, just because he was trying to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada explains how the spiritual master also knew that this person was illiterate. It's not like the spiritual master didn't know. But he was making an attempt and he was feeling ecstasy, it was revealed to him. And it's also explained when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he was feeling ecstasy. Nayanam Galada Sridharaya Vadanam Gadgada Rudayagira Pulakair Nishitam Vapukada Tavanama Grahane Bhavishyat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting Hare Krishna Mantra and he was feeling, topmost ecstasy. But still, he went to his spiritual master and he was checking with him. Okay, now I'm chanting this mantra and I'm feeling like this. Is that okay? And his spiritual master said, yes, my dear son, your life is perfect because you're feeling devotional ecstasies. You're feeling the right way. So you can imagine how even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is feeling ecstasy, but he's not whimsical. He is cross-reference, he's cross-checking with the spiritual master if he's doing the right thing. So this is actually the secret of success, is when we please our spiritual master, this ecstasy will be given to us. This will be revealed to us. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not a cheap thing. So the point is, we have to work hard for the mission of the spiritual master. Wherever we are, whoever we are, it doesn't matter. We have to work hard for the mission of the spiritual master. And then we will be blessed with ecstasy. Because you cannot go to somebody and ask them for a gift. If you ask, then it's no longer gift. Gift means when you're unexpected, when you least expect it, then it comes to you. So that's gift. So similarly, the mercy of the spiritual master will be given to us if we, without any material motivations, if we work hard for the mission. It's like, Prabhupada, early disciples, he was not actually very fond of them doing their own program in Vrindavan. It's like, for example, there was a devotee that was living in Radhakund, and Prabhupada didn't like it. So Prabhupada asked him, what are you doing? What are you doing in Radhakund? And the devotee explained to him, Prabhupada, you wrote in the, you translated in the Upadeshamrita, nectar of that, the topmost place is to be in Radhakund. And Prabhupada said, you skipped over the first sloka, which explains Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pastha Vegam. You have to control your senses. That's the first sloka. You can't even control your senses. You can't control your tongue, mind, belly, and genitals. But you went all the way to the 13th sloka and you're living in Radhakund. Prabhupada said, I don't approve this. And we can see the early disciples of Prabhupada in India, like His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Jaipatak Maharaj, so many amazing disciples of Prabhupada. When they came to India, Prabhupada made them work really, really hard. It's like they came to the dham and they were getting sick all the time. We can imagine, I'm from India, but living away for some time, coming back, you can understand it's not easy. The body starts freaking out. So the disciples of Prabhupada, coming from the West, from a very opulent background, they were getting sick all the time. God would ask them to go and buy building materials to build all these beautiful temples in Vrindavan, Mayapur. And we can imagine if you don't know the language and you like, you know, different color skin, the immediate price goes up, you know. So they were bargaining all the time, and then when they bring the materials to build, and it would get stolen, so they have to pretty much stay awake and guard the materials. And so many other services, very menial, very hard-working service. This is what Prabhupada gave them when they came to the Dham. And one disciple actually asked Prabhupada, when can I be like free, you know, chanting Radhe Radhe and experience the Dham? Prabhupada said, why are you so attached to your sense gratification? Even though this devotee wanted to just experience the Dham and chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada called it sense gratification. Prabhupada's point was, we have to be fully absorbed and we have to assist our spiritual master in his mission. That's a real disciple. Then we actually feel ecstasy. Otherwise, we won't feel anything. We only see like the pigs and the traffic and the pollution, and you know, we can't actually really see the Dham. And without experiencing some taste, some higher taste, you know, we are actually as good as dead. It's nothing worse than, you know, going to a holy place and realizing that we have no taste for any of these things. No taste when we're chanting, no taste when we're hearing Krishna Katha, no taste when we're associating with devotees. We're doing it, but we don't feel it. Our heart is somewhere else. We're always thinking what I'm going to do next. I can imagine myself, you know, the mind, you know, train tickets, plane tickets, shopping, this, that, you know. It's no end to this, and it's a very sad situation, because if we actually absorb, when we come to the holy place, Krishna will reveal to us. Krishna will reveal to us the real Dham. We will really feel the taste. And that comes from working hard for the mission. It's like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He actually left his body in the USA, in Pennsylvania, just to make a point that wherever Prabhupada started his temples, it's as good as Vrindavan. He could have easily come to Vrindavan to leave his body. But because he was working really hard to please his spiritual master all life, he was feeling ecstasy at the time of leaving this world. He was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and he was going into ecstasy. And he was actually a very advanced devotee within our recent years. We can see how this process actually works. If provided we sacrifice our selfish desires for a higher cause. And this is the mood of all our Vaishnava Acharyas. Like tomorrow we're celebrating Narottam Das Thakur and Lochan Das Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj. They were all living here, but they were all praying. They were constantly praying that they're able to see Vrindavan. Even though they're in Vrindavan, they were praying to be able to access Vrindavan. And they're setting example for us what should be our mood. You know? Sometimes, you know, we come to the Dham once and we make enough offense for a few lifetimes. Because we don't have the proper consciousness, we don't have the proper mood to do here. Therefore, Prabhupada said, for most devotees, the best thing to do is come for 3 days. If you're actually not absorbed and if you're not qualified, if you're not doing much, then it's actually very dangerous. It's like, you know, it's like Krishna's bedroom, so to speak. It's his Dham, you know. We have to be very, very conscious. We have to be very careful. So the point is, we have our family business. Just like when you go to Loi Bazaar or something, each shopkeeper, they have their business and they're training their descendants, whether making jewelry or they're pulling rickshaw or, you know, this being handed down. So our family business, we have our family business, and Prabhupada It's not a secret. Prabhupada was very clear. Prabhupada was living here in Vrindavan. But he was constantly thinking, constantly absorbed in this instruction of his spiritual master, how to go to these Western countries and spread Krishna consciousness in English language. Prabhupada didn't deviate from this meditation even for a moment. He was constantly absorbed in thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh, Hamara gyai guru hana tarahe desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the Kurma Brahman, saying that, you know, whoever you see, whoever you meet, you know, tell them about Krishna. In this way, under my instruction, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, you become a spiritual master and you deliver, you know, whoever you come across. So this is our family business. And all the acharyas, not like just in our line, but all the acharyas, they were thinking the same thing. They were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So like Ramanujacharya, for example, he was spreading Krishna consciousness all the way from Kanyakumari to Kashmir. And there was this instance that Ramanujacharya was traveling, and there was this village, and it was very, very hard. It was very hard to preach to people there. They were not very receptive. He tried and tried and tried. So Ramanujacharya was actually sitting near a lake, and he was meditating. He was praying to Krishna, how am I going to deliver all these people, you know? Somehow or other, I have to, you know, soften their hearts. So the vision came to him, how these three substances, namely the water from the, you know, feet of a Vaishnava, the dust from the feet of Vaishnava, and the remnants of prasad left by the Vaishnavas, these things actually very purifying, and they can give one bhakti. Jai Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram Gaur Nitai. So Ramanujacharya saw how these people were so stubborn and hard-hearted. So he asked one of his disciples. He didn't do it himself. He's so humble. He asked one of his disciples, you go, and there's this lake where people were bathing, they were getting water for drinking and cooking and washing and everything. So Ramanujacharya asked this disciple to go and just simply wash his feet in the lake and come back. And this was an amazing devotee, disciple. So as soon as he did that, people's heart started changing. They started to become more receptive to hear Harikatha and Harikirtan. So this is a very powerful process. The acharyas, they're only thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. And the acharyas are so powerful, just by their desire, Krishna will let this happen. It's actually explained that a fish, the way it nourishes its offspring is that a fish would swim and the baby fishes would follow. And every now and then the fish would turn around and glance at the baby fish. And just with so much love it's glancing, and the baby fish gets nourished. And a tortoise, Kurma, he lays his eggs in the shore, but he's in the middle of the ocean. But he's always thinking, meditating on the eggs. So just through this meditation, the eggs actually hatch and the babies come out. And it's explained like mammals, like a cow and a calf or a bird lays eggs and sit on it. So that's through physical contact that the offsprings of a mammal is nourished. So similarly, a saintly person, if he just thinks about us, or if he just glances at us, Or if there is some physical contact, we get some remnants or an embrace or, you know, Mahaprasad. It's actually very, very uplifting. It's very uplifting towards our spiritual life. So Prabhupada was constantly meditating on how to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. So Prabhupada's desire was so strong and unconditional that Krishna let it happen. And here in this verse, it says how Prabhupada is explaining, one does not need great wealth, education, or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Person. One need offer only a flower and a little water. So, from this verse, we can understand that, you know, we don't need much to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's actually better, or it's actually an impediment, at least in the beginning stages of life, to have many qualities and qualifications. Like Queen Kunti prayed, Janmaiswarya Sutta Sribir, Yedamana Madhapuman. When we have so many things, if you're not qualified, it actually becomes interference in our devotional life. Haridas Thakur, he met with these prisoners. And Haridas Thakur actually blessed them, saying, oh, you know, all of you, may you remain as you are. And they were really confused, you know, what kind of blessing we are getting, because we are in this dungeon, we're in this prison, eating like, you know, some old food, and, you know, there's no proper lighting or air. Well, what Haridas Thakur meant was, you know, they are put in this difficult situation, but that's giving them the right attitude, the right mood. So they were serving Haridas Thakur and hearing from him in a very submissive mood. So this is actually a blessing. So Haridas Thakur said, just stay the way you are. He was not talking about the external situation, but he was talking about the humility. It's very, very very, very important ingredient in spiritual life. As long as we are not humble, we cannot grow in spiritual life. It's like Prabhupada, those of us, you know, we all heard so many memories of Prabhupada from his disciples. But one thing you will notice always is disciples would always say how Prabhupada chastised them. And they enjoy saying it, and then when we hear it, we also enjoy, like, somebody got chastised by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would constantly, like, you know, put them in the place. There was a reason for it, you know. Unless the guru is strict, there's no way the disciple is going to make progress. It's actually a blessing. It's like this devotee, he saw how Prabhupada chastised somebody for putting Bhagavatam on the floor. So this disciple said, okay, now I know what's the best gift I can give for Prabhupada. Because he was thinking, what can I give Prabhupada? What can I give Prabhupada? So he went and got some maha cloth deities, and he made it into this really, really beautiful Bhagavatam cover. He made this really beautiful Bhagavatam cover, and he also got a couple of mangoes, and then he went to Prabhupada. But in his mind, he was thinking, you know, I'm going to be recognized and I'm going to be appreciated and glorified by Prabhupada in front of all these devotees because I came up with something very unique. So he went and he offered it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada immediately said, what is this? Oh, Bhagavatam cover for you, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I never put my Bhagavatam on the floor. What do you bring me this cover for? And this devotee was immediately humbled. And he became like so sorry and so humbled. And then Prabhupada can see that once he was humbled, then Prabhupada said, so what else you have? And this devotee offered, oh, I have a mango. And Prabhupada immediately took it with a big smile. Oh, mango, king of the fruits. Very nice. So first he came with the wrong mentality. And Prabhupada put him in his place, and then once he had the right mentality, then even though mango was, you know, available, no big deal for Prabhupada, Prabhupada took it with the. And there was another devotee who was very expert in Australia in botany. He knew a lot about plants and trees and like this. And he made sure, he wanted to know which way Prabhupada was going to take his morning walk, so he kind of gathered some knowledge on the way about, you know, all the plants and, you know, surrounding, so he can answer Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was walking, sure enough, you know, this devotee was answering all the questions, you know, Prabhupada had about the trees and the plants. And all of a sudden Prabhupada walked by and there was some weeds. And Prabhupada asked him, "What is this?" And the devotee said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you know, this is useless. This is..." Prabhupada took his cane, pointed to him and said, "You are useless. Because in Krishna's creation, there's nothing useless, but because you don't know the value of it, you think it's useless, but you are useless." And, you know, this devotee all the while was like, you know, flying in ecstasy, you know, I'm answering Prabhupada and I'm very close to Prabhupada. Prabhupada immediately humbled him, you know. Like Hridayananda Maharaj remembers how, you know, there was this Indian gentleman, and he was quoting so many slokas. And Prabhupada appreciated him, you know, because that Indian man was not an ISKCON or follower of Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted to encourage him, so Prabhupada was appreciative. So Hridayananda Maharaj thought, oh, you know, because this person quoted so many slokas and Prabhupada appreciated, and when Prabhupada come in the car, because Maharaj knew many slokas, I will also quote so many slokas. So he came in the car and Maharaj started speaking so many verses from the Gita in fluent Sanskrit. Prabhupada looked at him and said, "There's so many slokas." Just like, in other words, just be quiet. That man needed that kind of flattering, but don't think you can impress me with the slokas. So constantly we can see how Prabhupada was, you know, making or putting devotees in a humble position, in a humble mood, is so important. Otherwise we cannot grow as long as we have any pride. Especially in Vrindavan. It's like this Digvijay Pandit. He went around conquering all of India. When he came to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they didn't want to waste time debating with this mundane scholar. So they just signed, you know, saying, "Oh, this such and such pandit, he defeated us. Please leave us alone." But then this pandit went to Jiva Goswami and he was showing, "Look, I defeated your, you know, senior Goswamis. Now you want to debate or you want to sign also?" And Jiva Goswami couldn't tolerate this, you know, arrogance of this man. So he argued with him and defeated him and drove him away from Vrindavan. And when Rupa Goswami heard about it, Rupa Goswami was actually very upset. "Why did you waste your time, you know, arguing with this mundane scholar?" And Rupa Goswami told him, "You know, you're so puffed up, you're so proud," speaking to Jiva Goswami. "Anyone with any pride, he has no right to live in Vrindavan, get out." And Jiva Goswami didn't say, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, you know, I was actually fighting on your behalf. You don't understand, you misunderstood me, and you're not conscious, you're not really a Paramahamsa." He said, "Oh, you know, Rupa Goswami is saying I'm proud, I must be proud." So he left, and we know he performed all kinds of austerities to the point of like leaving his body. So, you know, this is to have the right mood, humility to serve the mission of the spiritual master. And if we do these things, regardless of what situation we are in, you know, we are blessed. Even materially speaking, if things are not going right, as long as we are serving the mission of the spiritual master with the right mood, we are actually blessed. On the other hand, Bhagavatam explains, if you're in a wonderful situation, everything is going nice, but you don't have the right mentality, you're not serving, then the opulent situation actually becomes like a burden. It's called Bhavasagara, ocean of birth and death. And if somebody is drowning and then you put a crown on their head, they sink deeper. Similarly, we are in this world, we are suffering, and we are all desiring all kinds of better situations. But Krishna knows what's the best thing to give us. Therefore, He's not giving to us. It's not like Krishna is a dull stone. He doesn't understand what we're going through. He understands, but He's not giving to us for a reason. So we shouldn't, you know, willingly go out of our way and ask for poison. We should let Krishna decide what's the best thing for us. I like this verse, and purport is explaining, we don't need much actually to, you know, serve Krishna. We can serve Krishna in any situation. But the amazing thing is, in ISKCON, we can see that by Prabhupada's mercy and sacrifice, and because we are doing the Yuga Dharma, there is actually so much opulence. There's so much opulence. It's not like we are so poor and we have to serve Krishna with a leaf and water. Krishna is giving us so much opulence. Like one time we had this brahmachari meeting. And in this brahmachari meeting, one devotee was speaking and another brahmachari, young brahmachari, asked him, "Oh, what about this feeling of insecurity? Like if I'm a brahmachari, and then I don't have any money, how will I survive?" And the senior brahmachari said, "You know, don't worry about that. The problem in ISKCON is we have so much money and so many beautiful women. That's the problem. It's not the problem is we don't have money. So the problem is, how are we going to remain fixed in the midst of so much money and opulence and opposite sex? That's the problem." So this devotee was explaining how, you know, we don't have to worry about that because we're doing yajna. There's so much opulence. It's like the Bhumi Devi. When Prithu Maharaj asked her, you know, why you're not producing so much. And Bhumi explained, you know, these people are not devotees. They're like pretty much like raping the earth. But if somebody is a devotee, I'm willing to provide. No problem. I'm happy to serve devotees. Same thing with the pastimes of Rukmini and Dwarakadish. When Krishna was taking the chipped rice from Sudama, she actually stopped him after two mouthfuls. "I already gave them so much beauty and good looks and jewelry and palaces. And if you take one more mouthful, I feel so indebted to Sudama, I'll have to go to his house and become a maid servant." So she stopped him. So by performing yajna, you know, we don't need to worry about, you know, insecurity or serving in poverty. There's so much opulence. There's so much opulence. So much so that people are actually envious of us. People are actually so envious. It's like I went for the temple. I went to this dealership in Volkswagen. And, you know, I was dressed as a brahmachari and I was looking at the cars and I was asking this, you know, the guy that's showing me the cars for a discount. And the guy says, "You know, I looked you guys up on the internet. You have so much money. You don't need discount." This is what he's telling me. I don't know which temple he looked up and what figures he got. I told him, you know, ISKCON is so big and each temple are financially independent, so the temple I come from is not what you think, so you have to consider that, you know. But he was convinced that, you know, you guys have so much money, you don't need a discount, you know. Don't ask me for a discount. So Krishna says, "Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham," that He provides. It's like when I was in Srirangam, there was this devotee, there was this, you know, separate place for this devotee. And this devotee, as a karmi, he used to break rocks for work. He was working day and night, breaking rocks, you know. And one day he broke this huge rock, and there was this little tadpole, this teeny frog was deep inside the rock, and there was just enough water for him to survive comfortably within the rock. So he had this realization, you know, here I am breaking rocks and working like an ass, and Krishna is providing for this little frog, you know, inside this huge rock. Why I don't have this understanding? So he gave up everything. And he would just chant and chant and chant. He became an amazing devotee. And Ranganath personally would bring him lunch every day. And one day Ramanujacharya saw this, you know, Ranganath is going every day, same time, some place. And then he saw Ranganath is bringing this devotee lunch. And Ramanujacharya said, no, you know, devotee, and said, you know, you can't accept this, you know, from the Lord. Please don't accept. I will arrange for your lunch, Prasad. Don't worry. So there's so many instances that, you know, Krishna takes care of his devotees. If we just serve Krishna, there's so much opulence, there's so much Prasad. I'm amazed, you know, in Vrindavan, when we go to take Prasad, it's, can't even stand up after the breakfast or lunch. It's so much Prasad. And everybody is looking shining and healthy and happy. It's not like they're working 9-to-5 jobs and traffic. We just chant Hare Krishna and do some seva, you know. There's so much happiness. Krishna takes care of his devotees. This is actually, you know, Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada is given us this gift, very special gift. It's like this one time, one devotee, Prabhupada kept saying, okay, if you serve Krishna, in case you don't complete your bhakti, then you will take birth in India. And Prabhupada would keep saying, even the devatas, even the demigods are standing in line to take birth in India. Prabhupada kept saying the Bharat Varsha, how special it is. But this devotee, all the time he was getting sick when he comes to India, and he didn't like the traffic and the pollution and the population and the cheating and so many things he didn't like about India. So one day he asked Prabhupada, don't mind me asking, do we have to take birth in India in case we don't complete this bhakti yoga? And Prabhupada said, no, we have created our centers in so many places. You can take birth in one of those places. That's all right. So Prabhupada was, you know, very proud of his international society. Facility anywhere in the world, like most of, you know, Indians that are practicing bhakti yoga in the West, we found out after we went to the West, because some American or European devotee was standing in the street with the Bhagavad Gita. We try to escape Krishna here, but Krishna is waiting for us there in the streets, you know. So this is Prabhupada's mercy. It's like recently Jay Patak Maharaj was visiting Los Angeles, and this new girl, she met with him, and she was telling him how, you know, her father is a Bengali. Maharaj asked him about her parents. And she said, my father is a Bengali and my mother is American. And Jay Patak Maharaj said, me too. So Maharaj was talking about, you know, Prabhupada and his mother. So this is actually truly international society for Krishna consciousness. And who can do this, you know? Who can do something like this? All parts of the world, you know, people are becoming, you know, Vaishnavas. It's unheard of. Anybody can actually build temples. It's not new, you know. We have, like, you know, so many Birla Mandir and so many beautiful temples in ISKCON. Millions and millions of dollars worth marble temples like that. But to create pure devotees that live in the temple, that's not a cheap thing. Prabhupada said, my devotees are the jewels that decorate the my temples. So to create pure devotees, that's actually very special. Everybody can pretend or imitate or make a big show like they're doing something, but there's a big difference. What Prabhupada has created and what everybody else is trying to do is like big difference. It's like I was going around with Mahapurush Prabhu. He was explaining how when Vatsasura was, you know, this Asura was disguised as a little calf, and he got into this intimate circles of Krishna, and Vatsasura was in ecstasy, was dancing and jumping up and down because he thought, I'm so close to Krishna, just matter of time I'm going to kill him. So he was dancing in ecstasy, jumping in ecstasy. And Krishna saw, why is this calf, you know, overdoing it, you know? Too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So Krishna saw, he caught the attention of Krishna that he's doing something very different and unusual. So Krishna saw, okay, I know who you are. So many people look like, you know, they're doing something like what Prabhupada, they can imitate, they can make devotees because Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartan. Krishna is actually truly empowered representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, his desire is spreading. Otherwise, wherever in the world we go, you know, there is no Brahminical culture and there is no cow protection, which is like the root of human existence. There are, people have even no idea of what is a Brahmin. People usually think Brahmin means you are born in a Brahmin family and you have a thread. It's like one of my friends, he was traveling in Europe and he was at the airport and he wanted to buy a t-shirt. So the owner of this t-shirt shop happened to be Indian. So my friend took off, my friend is from Poland, so he took off his t-shirt and he wanted to try the t-shirt that was in display. And the shopkeeper almost fainted. He's like, hey, what are you wearing there? Because he saw this devotee was wearing a Brahmin thread. And there was a caste Brahmin and he was surprised, like, how come you're wearing Brahmin thread? You're not from India, you're not from Hindu family. And the devotee actually preached to him what's a real Brahmana and how, you know, what's the qualification of a Brahmana. And this guy ended up giving him a free t-shirt. So people have no idea what is a Brahmana and what to speak of cow protection. It's explained, I saw one documentary, how in India there's like 1.5 billion people and there's so much dairy, lactose-based diet. There's like about 35 million cows left. And everything else is eaten and for leather exported. And, you know, this is like unbelievable. And already importing milk products and milk powder from Australia and New Zealand and like this. So this is a very sad situation the world is in. But the hope is, like Prabhupada said, even a small percentage of people, if they take to Krishna consciousness, the face of the world will change. Even 1% of the people. 1% of the people, if they take to Krishna consciousness, the face of the world change. How will they take to Krishna consciousness? We have to introduce them. We have to introduce them to Srila Prabhupada's books, especially Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Not any Bhagavad Gita, because any Bhagavad Gita, there's no potency there. We have to distribute Srila Prabhupada's Gita. It's like one of my friends, he insisted that I bring him back a Valmiki Ramayana from Loi Bazar. So I went and looked at few translations. It's like unbelievable. I'm like, I was thinking, I can't buy this, you know, this is a disservice. Anybody who reads this, they will become atheist or Mayavadi, you know. Because in the back it says how, you know, this book is talking about ancient India and Indian souls and, you know, it's all like bodily pram or pure bhakti or anything like that. So people can read lifetime after lifetime all these translations, but they will not have any change of heart. But anybody reads even one paragraph, like my Guru Maharaj, you know, Devamrita Maharaj, he read this small brochure, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, immediately, you know, he wanted to surrender. And so many examples are there, how Prabhupada's books can actually give change of heart individually and collectively. It's like in the West, you know, there's so many people wanting to help. There is this group called Greenpeace. And I was talking to this one guy who was, you know, requesting me to sign up for a monthly payment. I do, you know. He said, we are protecting the fish and the whales and the nature and the environment. And I was explaining to how, you know, he should take one of our books, because I was selling books and he was promoting Greenpeace. I told him, you know, if you read these books, people, the problem is the contamination is in the heart. It's not, you can't fix the external contamination without going to the heart. Like I told him, if you were to pay me $1 million, there's no way I'm going to go and fish or hunt. You have to make people spiritual, then automatically the environment will be saved. You can't be the other way around. So by distributing Prabhupada's books, you know, we can actually become free from illusion. It's like Arjuna said, Nashta Moho Smriti Labdha. After hearing the Gita, my illusion is gone and my memory is regained. What is the illusion? Prabhupada explains. Illusion is we are in the bodily concept of life. Vihasya moha, janasya moho, aham mameti. I, me and mine, you know, we are in the bodily concept of life. And what is the memory that's re-established? That's actually the memory of our eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is the beauty of reading Prabhupada's books. Our illusion is destroyed and we can attain Krishna prema. Otherwise, material happiness is flickering and fleeting. It's like this one joke. There was this old lady, she was sitting down smoking cigar. And somebody approached her and said to her, you know, you look so happy, you know, what's the secret? And this old lady said, you know, I smoke one pack of cigar every day, I drink one bottle of wine, and I eat only junk food, and I wake up like late, and I have unrestricted sex, and so on and so forth. That's my secret. And the person asked her, how old are you? I'm 36. So you look like a 90-year-old, you know. So material life, you can think you're enjoying, but there's so many consequences. But spiritual life means the opposite. The opposite, like eternal, long-lasting, ever-increasing happiness. It's like I saw this joke, there's a couple that's meeting and one of the couple is asking the other, you know, you're not saying much, why you're so quiet? And the guy says, actually, you know, on the internet you look much more beautiful. But now that we are meeting face to face, you're not so beautiful, I'm disappointed. So this is true. The spiritual life means when you get closer, they actually become more beautiful. It's like we went to this Bandiravat, and Radha and Krishna and the gopas and gopis, they wanted to once for all decide, you know, who's the boss, Radha or Krishna. So they decided to have a wrestling match. So the cowherd boys brought Krishna into the boxing ring, and the cowherd girls, they brought Srimati Radha's ring. And Krishna has seen Radharani so many times, but when he actually saw her this time, she was extremely more and more beautiful. The Krishna actually became stunned. I mean, like, he couldn't move. And all the cowherd boys and girls were cheering them on, like, come on, you know, you have to fight, you have to fight. But Krishna was like frozen. And Radharani just lifted her eyebrow like, you know, what's the matter? And that completely knocked out Krishna. Krishna fell backwards. Completely unconscious. And when you're in a wrestling match, you know, if your shoulders are touching the ground on the back of your thighs or touching the ground, all these four, that means you're defeated. Usually you have to keep one up in case you want to get up and fight, but Krishna was completely flat. So he lost. Even though you see in Srimati Radharani, you know, she looks more beautiful every time he sees for his pleasure. So we have to become more and more absorbed in spiritual existence and be absorbed in the service to the spiritual master, and no offense to the Vaishnavas, and chant Hare Krishna. And this way we will actually experience ecstasy and give up inferior taste, and you know, we can actually become a real devotee. I have so much more to say, but I can see the time is up. Any questions or comments from the Vaishnavas, we can... What time do we supposed to stop? Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.